Okay, what do you say we get rolling here? So folks, this is an opportunity. Think of this as more like small group discussion, right? We really don't have everybody here now, so we're not going to pretend that we're doing some plenary conversation. So that's the spirit of this conversation now. We've got a bunch of stuff that could be useful for some advancing the ball, teasing out what's really important, seeing where we have some differences, and seeing if there's some pathways to play on. I'm going to grab off this list here, this first one to work on, which could be a bit of a doozy, but then again, let's see where we are on it. This is our 12, which is reasonable access, okay? Because it's a particularly sensitive issue, it's a good one to use for when we're all together here, or when this skeleton crew is together. So I think it's important to do a similar approach as last time, is we have, Caitlin and Marika, we have a table on the public comment, right? So if you look up on your computers, recommendation 12, you can go into the summary table of comment, and you can go into the detailed comments. And why don't we just take 5 minutes and read through that? We don't need the whole conferring with your team necessarily. Wait a minute. They swapped out. But let's do that. Let's take 5 minutes. Let's open up those documents. Let's look through those documents. And then let's see where we are in trying to name really what the issues are at stake for you all to resolve in your final report. Okay? So let's take those 5 minutes. Thanks, Terry, for putting that up. Survived.
Wow.
For those of you on the bridge, guys. So you guys want to pull this into the main group? So let's pull it into the main group, guys. Thanks. Shh. Assumption was not totally off base. All right, guys. Let's pull it all back into the main group here. Okay. Great. We will have Ruth with us for another hour or so. So it's we can take advantage of having her here to pose some questions, et cetera. We at least get one more of those, and then probably two more where the elevators are activated. I think minimum three. Okay, so just before we're finishing up, I noticed that Alan, I thought, is my brain really that slow right now? Alan and Alan were talking, and I know that Alan and we were talking as well. So, Alan, you have some ideas about where we left off this discussion, Alan Greenberg, that is. And I wonder if that's a way to kick off sort of where we stand right now on this and how the public comment impacts all that. Alan, do you want to give us sort of a sense of where you think we all stand?
We discussed this somewhat. Oh, let's let Marika talk first. No.
Steve's in the queue. Great. Thanks.
Okay. We had a rather extensive discussion about this, and I think it was in the first plenary after the new year, before we decided to break up into two small groups. But I'm not sure. But I know we discussed it this year. And it was an interesting discussion because there was a fair amount of movement in terms of what we could do. And I think the conclusion was that, yes, we could probably do something to simplify the procedure or clarify the procedure or something, the procedure in place today. This is prior to anything we do in the long term. And the feeling was we couldn't really come to closure on that call. Either we ran out of time or energy or something. And I know both the Allens were a significant part of that discussion. And I know Alan Woods had said that we really should. I at one point said we're not going to be able to do it for the final report. And Alan, you know, was much more positive than I was, and said if we discuss it in Toronto, maybe we can do something just to clarify procedures, provide some level of uniformity among contracted parties, or set expectations properly so that people aren't complaining, or use another word, quite as much as they are now. Now, that's my recollection. Alan may have a different one.
Okay. Go ahead, Alan Woods. Yeah, and then I'll go into the queue online. Yeah.
Alan Woods, for the record. Yeah. So I do actually remember that, and because, you know, it's so rare that I'm optimistic in that. I think a lot of people were worried that there was going to be difficulty in this one again, and, you know, we went down a path of despair. But I remember that we were pleasantly surprised when we first tackled this way back when. I think I can't even say when it was.
I remember.
Because we all assumed that we're going to jump off at the wrong platform, basically. But we all knew that this was about the process and the processing of the request, not necessarily the result of that request. And, I mean, obviously, coming from the public comments, a lot of people are pointing out that it, in its current form, it is unfinished, and it needs, you know, tweaking of the language and changing of the language and actually creation of the language. I think where the conversation needs to lie is setting a reasonable expectation that gives comfort to people who are making those requests, but still allows enough flexibility from the person who has to deal with the request, because there are so many different requirements. Such as the nature of the request itself, the, you know, whether or not further legal, opinion might be necessary in a particular instance. If there is a negative response, that we provide the reasons behind that response, provide a reasonable opportunity for them to come back. You know, don't just be unreasonable in the response. And, I mean, I think we can come to a list ourselves where we could come up with those reasonable but not overly restrictive things. But if we start straying into things like, you know, you have 72 hours to respond to a request, then, you know, obviously we're going to go, that's just unreasonable and we can't do that. So, I mean, I do think that this is something that we could easily come to an agreement on, because it is about, you know, just being common sense, reasonable in an approach to how to display that.
Right.
Yeah.
What a nice way to open this up. Yeah. Okay. Let me quick jump in online. Steve, do you still want to jump in here?
Yes, please.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me all right?
Please go ahead.
Thank you.
I too.
I too.
And not sure on salt yet.
Steve, you're cutting in and out, unfortunately, so we can't hear you very well. Maybe you can try something.
All right, we'll try this way.
Can you hear me?
I just have to push my...
Honestly, Steve, unfortunately, you really are cutting in and out. I'm wondering if you want to do a quick check on what your mic setup is, and then I'll come back to you in just a few minutes. And Terry might have a solution for you. I'll come back to you in just a second, Steve. Alex, why don't you jump in here, and then we'll get back to Steve.
Yeah, thank you. It's Alex. So I agree, Alan. I think, you know, we've discussed this concept, well, within this group, but also I remember at the last ICANN, there was quite a lot of discussions about how we could make this process better for all. And I think you mentioned two words, which I think are important: reasonable and practical. Another one I would throw in from our side is predictable. And I think the list that we have is the right major bullets. And I think we could probably go quite far with filling in some of the details about what do those mean. So, for example, it says format by which requests should be made. We could talk about what fields, you know, are required and statements may be needed, and we could talk about timelines. I think we could be perfectly reasonable around those. So I guess the question is how do we go? Yeah.
Can I ask a quick question of people who aren't in the contracted party house and those who aren't the most typical ones making requests, like this side of the table down here? What, if anything, do you want to add into this story? Because it seems to me a logical next step is to sit down in a sort of smallish group, some folks from the contracted party house and some folks from those who are making a lot of requests, and have them do exactly what they say they want to do. What input do you all want to have on that? Hey, Ben, why don't you go ahead?
Since you asked this end of the table, I'll just say, in general, ESSAC is completely in agreement with the way Alan Woods phrased things. I was part of the deliberation on this that led to the list that we have in front of us. I think if we spend some time trying to address these bullet points and flesh them out, and just one last thing to tack on to what the IP folks would like in terms of adding predictability, I totally agree. And just want to note that predictability, and this is a pain point for contracted parties, that's a two-way street. If there's a predictable format that the requests come in to contracted parties and a predictable format of what those responses look like, it makes the ecosystem better for everybody.
Right. Okay. Anybody else here? I know maybe from the non-commercial. I'm just curious because what I think would be a logical next step would be to say, let's pause it now amongst all of us and let you guys take that and run with it, right? And see where it goes. But I'm just checking in. Milton, you put your card up?
So, I really like the public comments made by GoDaddy, in which they said we need to distinguish between different categories of requesters. Are we talking about law enforcement requests? Are we talking about private parties? And are we talking about pseudonymized access for research purposes? So in terms of those bullet points, I have no particular objection. We'd like to see them fleshed out, but we would want to add a categorization of the requesters along those lines.
Okay, great. Thanks, Elton. So let me jump online, and I'll try Steve again. Steve, how's your mic working now?
You tell me.
Oh, that sounds better.
All right, great, thanks. This should be easy to resolve. There were two categories of public boxes that I think exhibited a lot of confusion.
And I think that Milton just identified one, Sarah Bosco.
There are two kinds of public comments that raise concerns.
The recommendation does not require, it merely requires some sort of response.
Where the contract party would decide whether. So there is no requirement.
Standardized form would indicate what kind of an entity that are.
Although it's not as if certain entities get up to decide whether under 6.1 to disclose.
There were also some comments.
Hey, Steve, can I just interrupt you for a second? Because unfortunately, we get about 50 to 60%, unfortunately, of what you're saying. But it sounded like what you're saying is there was a slightly misinterpretation of what's required. And you would be able to distinguish on a sort of standard form what kind of requester is requesting. But unfortunately, for some reason, you keep cutting out on us. I wonder if you could type into the chat your second point you're just about to do. And I really apologize because we really just can't hear
you very well
on the road.
I'll do it. Just move on. Thanks.
I really apologize there. Farzana, you want to jump in?
By the Seems like it's not breaking.
Seems like it's not breaking. I'm going to go down just a minute.
Okay. Oh, we couldn't hear you very well either, but if you guys can use the chat, maybe that's the smart way, and we'll keep an eye on the chat. Okay. So, then, is a general willingness for a conversation to happen to flesh out the bullets and to put a little bit more meat around that bone, right? Some using the keywords of reasonable, practical, and predictable, and using the existing bullets more or less as the guide, and just providing some more content on that. Yeah? Am I hearing that right? In addition to what and Milton saying, don't forget there's different kinds of requesters and that should be part of this conversation as well.
Another thing I don't want you to forget, and that is that this is a placeholder, right? This is, as long as all we have is a temp spec or some new policy, this is not the complete system of standardized access for lawful disclosure. This is, so we can't try to make it into that. I think we'll get stalled if we do.
Wonderful. And is that exactly how everyone else is understanding this as well? Yeah. Okay, I see some nodding heads around the table. Okay, great. Alan.
Thank you. I am agreeing, however. What I put my card up for was to remind everyone that maybe the term quick and dirty is not quite appropriate, but this is a side job we decided to take on to make people's life easier, both the contracted parties and the people making the requests, but it's not our day job. So let's not get overambitious in refining it too much.
Great.
So I strongly support what Milton said.
Wonderful. Okay. You want to bring us home, Alan Woods?
Bring us to an issue. Not an issue, a complication. I want to deal with one word that we did hear from Steve, and that was the use of the term standardized forms. Mm. I really must caution against the concept that we're ever going to get anywhere near a standardized form because, again, each individual registry or registrar is going to be in a different jurisdiction. There will always be quirks within the form. As long as we know what are the core elements that should always be present, good, but not a standardized form. We cannot go down that road because it will not end well.
Great. So that's a nice way to put it. There may be core elements that we want to have in these forms. We do not want to talk about standardized forms.
We may want a standardized way of finding out where the form is, though.
Careful. Okay. Caboose, please jump in on this.
Yes. Are you discussing this topic here, 12?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Please correct me. I am lost. Where and how we have decided to replace or modify the term standardized access to parameters for responding and so on and so forth. Access is a different action from parameters. Two different things. I don't recall that we have agreed to that.
Yeah, so thanks, Caboose. That change was in your initial report, which suggests that there was some agreement to get it in the initial report. And I don't know that there was any public comment on that particular point. Maybe there was. I don't know. So just as a point of clarity, that's not something new that's happened since the initial report. That was in the initial report.
But still, I'm not clear on that. In the initial report, that the parameters replace access model. Parameters is different. You could have parameters and put all those parameters in the model, but it's not replaceable. They are not replaceable. You cannot replace a standardized access model, which you want to discuss it at phase two, with something which is called parameters to responding, so on and so forth. This is not the same thing.
Thanks, Caboose. I think Alan Greenberg wants to try. Now, I want to be careful about the words we're using. Yeah.
Okay. I thought I made it clear when I introduced the subject, obviously. Not quite. The recommendation here says do nothing until we have the access model. And the access model is a phase two issue. During the discussion 2 weeks ago on the teleconference, on the plenary call on, I believe, January 3rd, we came to the conclusion that the current process is too painful for both sides of the party. And if we could do something on an interim basis to make it a little bit more predictable and easy and whatever, that we should, as a side project, do that, and we would modify this recommendation slightly to say we were doing that. That's where the parameters came in. The parameters we're talking about are the parameters on an application prior to the access model. There exists today, because each registry and registrar has put in place a procedure. We're just saying, can we do something to clean that up a little bit and make life easier for people?
Right.
I hope that's clear.
And also, this is not about a standardized access model, right? This is the charter question that says, please look at this reference of reasonable access in the temp spec and react to it. So, again, that's separate from the
we're
model.
We're looking at putting a bit of process on the current ad hoc procedures.
Right. Okay. Is that clear?
Not yet.
Okay.
I have no problem with the term reasonable. I had a question from the very beginning at the second meeting. I raised it with the chair that I don't understand that, but I have difficulty to replace standardized access with parameters. But if Alan mentioned that parameters would be some sort of prerequisite to have that standard as access, I have no problem.
Okay.
But this should be made. It is not here. You know, I read everything very carefully. This is my job. This does not say this is a prerequisite arrangement to facilitate the standardized access. It says that to modify this term, standardized access, so on and so forth, with this one. This is the case. From legal point of view, is this, unless what Alan mentioned would be inserted here to say that in order to have this and that standardized access, we need to have parameters to facilitate that standardized access to be properly devised or developed, or so on and so forth. Could you, Alan, kindly clarify the issue? I was not in that meeting that you mentioned.
Caboose, you raise an interesting thing, and by doing this ad hoc work to make life simpler, we probably will learn a bit that will help us design the access model later. So from that point of view, I think you're right.
Alan Woods, and then I'm going to go over to Marika and Steve. Yeah.
Thank you, Alan Woods. I actually, this is going back to October meetings, and in fact, I believe I'm just going into delving into the archives here, and that was the team meeting 20 where we talked about the outcomes of small team 3, which was specifically this recommendation, and this was wording that was put in there in small team 3, and I find it odd that we're here in after the interim report and in January now talking about words that were put in nearly 3 months ago. So, I mean, can we just have a little bit of perspective here? We know there's an awful lot of work comes through, but, you know, this has been on the table for a very long time, so.
Okay. So let me, I know that, Marika, you want to say something. You have a chat comment from Steve that he was trying to make.
Yeah, thanks, David. This is Marika. So Steve put the following comments in the chat. Public comments that raise concerns are misunderstanding this recommendation. Sarah's comments suggest these disclosures are required. They are not. This is not unified access. This is a disclosure request that would still need to be available after UAM, but because not everyone will be accredited and eligible for UAM, those requesters would still use this method. So to Milton, this is not a placeholder. And if I can make an additional comment myself, my question is, it sounds like this is maybe a small team conversation.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to get a sense of when we should schedule a call for that group and when they will come back with their homework,
right.
Being very cognizant of the time frame we're looking at.
Yeah, I would say honestly, let's try to do something that would be of importance to all of us, and then we'll maybe cut and we'll stop, and then you guys can have that conversation. Maybe I do another conversation with somebody else, but let's take advantage, maybe do it right this afternoon. Yeah, it's still not that late right now, right, because we were ending at 3:30. Okay, all right, what else needs to be said on this? I see Thomas, and I'll go back to Caboose. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Marika's readout was quite interesting in that, you know, we have certain criteria that need to be met for what we now call reasonable access, or reasonable disclosure, or whatever, and then the UAM. The way I see it, the UAM adds additional complexity to the disclosure part. So the disclosure part deals with, you know, what data can you lawfully disclose to third parties, to requestors. And the UAM part then discusses whether you can have a semi-automated system where people can self-serve with data based on an accreditation of whatever shape or form. But have you guys given some thought to how we should approach this? Are we actually building different classes of requests, and then we could actually start fleshing out criteria for honoring requests? And maybe it's worthwhile discussing, you know, so that everyone can think about the individual scenarios, what these classes of requests would be, whether those are requests to be answered based on a regime enforced by ICANN, or whether that's rather something that should be dealt with under national law by the individual contracted parties. If you don't want the discussion now, let me know.
I am feeling this, you know, urge to say, hey, Thomas, that sounds like something you would talk about in that next phase of when you're talking about a more standard system for disclosure, right?
But this feels like
a much lower bar of what's happening, which is let's flesh out some details on those bullet points about what kind of process should these parties expect to interact with in the meantime.
I mean, you're right for one half of it,
yeah,
for the next phase, but I think that the other half is something that we should start worrying about more or less today or as soon as we can. And then we can decide whether we have the bandwidth to add our findings to our final report or to what extent we have to push it to the second phase. Mm. You know, there are responses to civil claims, pursuit of civil claims. There are law enforcement requests, all of which would fall under the category of reasonable access, but you can talk about what scenarios you want to cover.
If I'm hearing you right, are you saying kind of the same thing that Milton was trying to say of, like, let's play out these different scenarios and it might change the way we're answering these questions? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I guess I'd really like to get to a level of granularity where we can maybe even task sub-teams with or Ruth with looking at things where we can't really get further by ourselves. I mean, we had these discussions in part over the last year or one and a half even, and we got stuck at certain points. And maybe Ruth can help out with those
okay.
points.
I saw Alan, like, shoot up his card when the word granularity came up. But Hadia's first. And Caboose, I got to get over it. Real quick, let me just jump on Caboose, and then I'm going to come right back. Caboose, you had put your card back up. What's going on? Yes, please.
Alex mentioned that it is the regime that will be used until the time that we complete the access. It means that this modified version is on a on an interim basis. I have no problem with that. Therefore, in the recommend part, it says recommends that so on and so forth, on an interim basis until the time that standardized access is completed. We could not judge and change the term before we discussed that. You could not put the cart before the horse.
So you
could not prejudge the result of discussions. At phase two, we will discuss. If after discussion we come to the conclusion that a standardized access term is not a good term, we have to change it, we could change it. However, if in the meantime we can use this term as proposed, I have no problem. But we have to add to this recommendation on an interim basis.
Okay, thanks, Caboose. Does that make sense?
That is something that, otherwise, we have serious problem and difficulty and reservation with respect to this. Thank you. Because it is ad hoc. First of all, I have not participated. This is small A, small B, ad hoc. There are so many things. It's difficult to follow. And second, it is not easy at this stage. Before completing the studies on the access, we try to change the name of access. This is influencing the result of the studies. this is prejudging the result of the studies. It is not correct, and I do not agree with that, and I thank you very much.
Okay. So in terms of the specific suggestion of calling this interim, does that make sense to people? Is this interim? It's not. Is it interim? Okay. Hadia gets, then Alan, then Alex, and then let's see if we can put this to bed.
Hadil Minyawi for the record. So I would like to go back to what Steve just said in the chat, because this is actually really important. So what Steve said here, that actually, because what we recommend is for this to remain in place until we have a standardized access system. And what Steve is saying now, look, folks, a standardized access system will not be handling some of the cases. And and will not handle all of the cases, and we might remain with whatever we agree on here with respect to some cases of disclosure. And I agree, the standardized access system will definitely not be appropriate for all categories. So, but then this was not our understanding when we put this recommendation. So we need to be clear here. You know, is it the case that whatever we put here would remain with us for those categories that do not fall under the standardized access system or not? Because this is not what we were thinking about when we made this recommendation.
Hadi, it would be fair to say that question that you're asking is actually very hard to answer before you go through the next step of talking about it. So I wonder if you want to flag it in your recommendation of saying, we're actually not quite sure what will happen, but we'll look for, you know, these are the kinds of things we'll be looking at when we take this up in our phase two. See what I'm saying? Instead of having some definitive answer like this stays on or this is temporary, this is the word Caboose used, you have to say, we don't know. But we are flagging this as an issue.
I totally agree. And I only made that comment because of Steve's comment.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay. Alan, you shot up your card right when the word granular came out.
No, that wasn't when I – well, okay. It may have been when I did it, but not because of that.
Okay.
In terms of interim, as Haji and others have said, there will be requests after the access model is in place, if it ever is in place, which will not be authenticated and will need a procedure, whether it is the one we're talking about today or a brand new one we come up with in our wisdom after we've designed the access model, who knows?
Right.
So this may be a temporary thing, it may be interim, it may be the one we decide to keep. It's a decision down the road.
Right.
However, my hand went up when Thomas and others were starting to talk about details. All we need to do today is decide to reword this recommendation slightly to say that the current procedures or variants thereof will remain in place until we have an access model. You know, and we can add some words about going forward, like we just said. We don't need to decide the details here. It would be nice if we get them done soon. All we need to do is figure out the wording for the final report. Thank you.
Excellent. Alex, and then Alan. Oh, and Kurt, I didn't know you were in the queue. I'm sorry. No, I didn't know. Alex, go ahead, and I'll come back.
Yeah, just to clarify that, you know, a point I typed in the chat. I mean, I agree with Steve that, and with what Alan just said, that I think it is important that some form of access to those who may not be accredited in the future is available, and how we make that happen procedurally, I think we could still discuss. But I agree, it's an important concept that we need to consider and make sure is specified sufficiently.
Okay, great, Kurt, and then I'm going to run back to Alan. Kurt.
So it was in response to Hadia, really, and so I also think Steve's comment's a very good one, and so we need to recognize that the charter for phase two is much broader than a semi-automated system, but it's to provide access, including the ways, including the requirements that Steve mentioned. I wanted to mention that, but what's the timing of writing these quick and dirty.
I think this afternoon, that was what I was hoping for. When we finish up what we want to do here, a couple people sit down, see if they can flesh out those bullets into something a little more meaningful, and take it from there and take in the comments that we're hearing so that you can propose some new language. Yeah.
Alan was for the record. So just with regard to Steve's point and Hattie's point and yourself, Alan, as well, let's just call a spade a spade. This is still a legal obligation of a data controller that we will always have to answer these requests. This is us saying, yeah, let's make it a bit easier for us all to do it. So let's not make this more than what it is. This is us meeting in the middle and trying to be reasonable, and I think it's just sparring a little bit. So I really want to just get down to them and what would make it reasonable, a bit more predictable for ye. Obviously not the answer being predictable, but the process being predictable, and let's just do it.
Great. Okay. James, do you have anything to add to that comment?
No, go ahead. I was going to respond to, I can respond in the chat.
Okay, great. Okay. Caboose, is that an old card?
I was about to write a new language. The new language should be as follows. EPDP team, the commands that until the time that the standardized access is studied and decided upon, the current procedures or current practice, starting with parameters for responding and so on and so forth, be used. I have no problem on an interim basis. So there is a need to change that we do not prejudge the result of the study. We may agree to replace it totally after the study, but not now. We may not have any standardized access at all. I don't know yet, but not now. We don't decide at this stage. This would bias the study totally. Thank you.
So I would just say, to close that off, it sounds like the message from Caboose is be careful in the first paragraph that nobody can read it like you are making some statement around standardized access or how that's going to be. So I think take a look at that and see if there's any way to misconstrue. Okay?
Yeah. We have spent hours around this table and similar tables agonizing over wording. We have a relatively large paragraph and several bullet points which were agreed to by consensus. I think we want to modify them as little as possible at this point to factor in what we are now committing to do.
Okay.
This is not the time, late on a Friday afternoon, to start coming up with new wording unless they're absolutely necessary to send the message we need to send right now.
Right.
So
okay.
I beg, let's make as few changes as possible.
Wonderful. Okay. So just to clarify what's happening, even this afternoon, hopefully when we break, a couple folks, I'm looking over here, sort of in this corner, can sit down and see how you could flesh out the bullets, right? That's the real essence of what we're talking about. Milton and others ask you to think about the categorization, the type of requester, but use these reasonable, practical, and predictable, and be attentive to how people might misconstrue. Okay. Anything else? Yes, Caitlin.
Thanks, David. This is Caitlin Tuberg in ICANN.org. I just wanted to note that we inadvertently left the GAC comment off of the summary table, so we're going to include it in the room so that we can ensure that it was part of the consideration of the changes of this recommendation.
Excellent. Thanks for catching that. Okay. All right, guys. So that's that. That's actually very helpful and maybe would be spectacularly helpful depending on how that works a little bit later. Okay. So given that we have a touch more time here, another one that's on our list for dealing with is recommendation 7. I don't know, Marika, if you want to help me tee this up, recommendation 7. Yeah? But this is the one about contractual compliance. And somebody had written ARS, and that wasn't me, so I'm not sure why it got written in this as a flag to remind me to do something. But Marika, if you want to pull that up, and we can just do our usual thing. Again, what we can do is provide some guidance. At a minimum, with all of us here, quickly name what needs to be addressed. If we think we can address some of it quickly, let's do it. If not, we'll push it back, but at least we've named the issues, okay? So do we have a table on recommendation 7? No, it's all right, but everyone else can go look for it, right? So guys, if you could quickly just pull up on your laptops the summary table of comments on recommendation 7, which is around contractual compliance, and let's take a peek at that. Let's spend 5 minutes to look at it very quickly, and then we're going to bring it back in the room. Yeah, Mark?
Quick request on that. You wrote ARS in there. Alan teed that up. I think it was earlier this morning. It seems like a lifetime ago. Maybe it wasn't this morning. But
ARS is the purpose around?
It was one of the first table, the table one we looked at, it was one of the outstanding items.
ARS is what we talked about the additional purpose around ARS?
Well, it was recommendation 1. It was the table that had, like, items, you know, the list of items that, it's the question about what items aren't included in recommendation 1. So it was sort of your catch-all, what isn't covered.
Yeah, people who want additional purposes.
Right, right.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
One of them was the ALAC submission on ARS, and Alan sort of introduced that this morning.
Yeah.
We had a discussion, though, that might fit or might have an impact.
That's what I was here for.
The contractual compliance discussion that we're getting to now. And then, so my request for Alan, maybe when we break, so we were talking, like, what, you know, so the registry's, I think, proposed splitting contractual compliance piece into two different parts.
Yep.
If you could take a look at the current language, is there a way to take your concern about ARS and match it with the new compliance language? I don't know that there is or isn't, but maybe that's something you could look at on the break.
I will look.
Okay, that's great. So let's take the 5 minutes and look at the recommendation 7 summary table and the full comments. And if you want to have, maybe do have a little conversation with your neighbor about this and see what's the there that we need to worry about in reviewing this. So let's take those 5 minutes. Let's go ahead and read it. Have a conversation about this, the compliance issues that come up. stretch it out a couple minutes, sorry. All right, guys. All right, guys, I'm going to need to ask if you want to keep going. You can do it outside because we need to bring it back in, all right? Okay, so let's do our usual thing here, folks. After your careful and measured review of the public comment, what are the issues at stake that we need to work through as a group on this? What are the actual issues here that emerge that we have to deal with related to this particular recommendation? Remember, this isn't the purpose, it's the recommendation on compliance. What are the issues, folks? What needs to be addressed? Anything? Nothing? Is the recommendation okay as it stands? I know. People are slowing down. What needs to be, what, do we need to do anything here? Yeah, Marika.
Yeah, thanks, David. This is Marika. One thing I did get from the comments is that some seem to think or imply from the recommendation that, you know, with any compliance request, all that data would be sent to compliance. And at least what I understand from compliance is that, you know, whatever request they make, they consider carefully what is needed and would only ask for those data elements needed. So we may need to clarify that just because there's this long list of data elements, it does not mean that for every request that compliance makes, they expect to receive all that data. So that was maybe just a suggestion that
Great.
May help clarify that.
Right. So the amount of data in the workbooks is sort of an aggregate of anything possible. It's not on any individual request. You need all those data points. Okay. So we could be more specific in the recommendation about that. Okay. What else, folks? Do we need to do anything, or is this fine? Do we just move forward with this? You guys too fried to keep going? No. Yeah. Alan.
My only concern about being too specific here is we don't want to create a very make a simple job difficult. You know, if for compliance for every request they have to, you know, go into a chart and see exactly what type of request it is, so I know which subset of elements I'm going to request. We can make a job which otherwise would be easy complex, and I just want to make sure we're not going to do that, be too prescriptive at this point.
Great.
Now,
so
we should minimize data element transfer. Fine, but let's not be too specific.
So, Alan, just to be clear, you're comfortable the way it is now, and what you're reacting to is, if you want to say you don't always need all those elements, don't make something prescriptive about what elements you actually need. Is that correct? Okay, great. Yeah. Alan?
Thank you, Alan Woods, for the record. So it could be because I'm tired, but
yeah.
This may seem cranky. But, like, this is one of those things from my reading of it that is very important. Why? And I find it very difficult for us as an EPDP team to be able to come up with such a list or decide what compliance needs in order to do their job.
Right. I don't think anybody actually suggests that.
I know, but this is where, you know, I would really, really love if ICANN had come to the table much more willingly with certain things, saying, this is what we need to do our job, and told us this so we could have moved forward easily.
Yeah.
And so this is a bit of a frustration one for me.
Okay. Marika, can you jump in on there? Because I have a sense that there's actually a different narrative there. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, David. This is Marika. Compliance has come to the table several times, and I think they've basically said, you know, whatever is required in the contract is what we need to enforce. So, you know, it would be helpful then if you say why that is not good enough or what you would expect them to say. I know there was also a memo thing that they provided on their processing activities and mapping. That memo, I think, was also shared. So I think if there are specific questions, we're happy to take those back. That would make it easier, indeed, you know, to get the answers that you're apparently looking for.
Okay. Mark, do you want to jump in on that? And then Alex? And then Thomas?
Yeah. I want to try two things. You know, I guess looking at this requirement, my first thing is, you know, this is a recommendation to change contracts for registries and registrars. And so, you know, we're giving, you know, as part of this, we're giving instructions to lawyers to open up contracts and make changes to them, and so there, you know, we need to make sure we're telling them exactly what the end result of those should be, and we're, you know, in this language, we're saying, you know, consistent with the data element workbooks, and so. I'll just, I have hesitation with that, and part I'll just sort of note, you know, the registry's concerns. You know, we have sort of an overarching concern that, you know, there are many aspects of those workbooks that this group didn't specifically deliberate on, and that's sort of individually noted in the registry comments on this one as well. And I know, you know, we've already talked about, you know, our plan, we're
planning to guide you through
those workbooks. So I guess the first thing I'd say is, I think what would make registries more comfortable with this recommendation is, if we have that separate review of the workbooks. You know, we've had a chance to go through those and rather than reference the workbooks themselves, if we're very explicit in the recommendation as to what we think should be, you know, how we think these contracts should be modified, I think that would get us more comfortable with that. I guess I'll look over to registrars to see how they feel, because we're talking about their contracts as well.
Right. And then just before I jump to Alex and Thomas and Alan, and Maria, but I just want to say, Mark, real quick, you say you'd be more comfortable if there's more about the how. That seems like something we would have to put some language on, like, ASAP, right? If you want to,
may I say that I don't want to. What I was suggesting is we shouldn't be referencing the workbooks. We shouldn't be incorporating the workbooks by reference into a policy recommendation. We should say explicitly what we want to say in the recommendation itself.
I see. So you say we want these data elements. You still could reference as put on page 53 with the workbook, but
right. No, I want to put
the actual
data elements in the policy recommendation itself.
Fine. Okay. All right. Alex?
Thanks. It's Alex. I mean, I think we all, well, I can't speak for you, but I think we all want a result where ICANN gets the data it needs to do its job and to meet its obligations, right? I think that's the goal. So we need to kind of maybe work back from that to ensure, both with the purpose and this recommendation, that we end up in that spot. And, you know, in L.A., I remember asking compliance, is there ever a case, is there any, have they run into issues with getting access to data to do their job? And Maggie said yes. And so that was a concern. Whether that's still the case, I don't know. But if it is, you know, we need to make sure that that's addressed. And then the third point I wanted to make is that there's also this issue around the legal basis, right, which I think the workbook is now 6.1F. I understand why. The reason why 6.1F has been placed there, but given the importance of compliance and the fact that it's ICANN and not kind of just a random third party, it seems to be inadequate to me, so I just thought I'd mention that.
Uh-huh. So maybe think about when you do the review of the workbook, do a test on that legal basis. Okay. Thomas, and then Alan, and then I'm going to come back to Marika.
Yeah, I know that we've talk to folks from compliance, and I know that they have sent a memo, but at least for me, it would make my life far easier if we got a record of processing activities from compliance as to what they're doing exactly, how long they're going to keep what data for what compliance action. Because we're sort of second-guessing what their needs might be and then frame, reverse engineer that into a purpose or into a recommendation. So I'd rather have a recommendation that links to an appendix which lists those things, and then we can give everything that ICANN compliance does today its blessing. And at the same time, we can make this list exhaustive so that we know that no other things are happening with the data unless, you know, contract changes or policy changes require. So and in that case, the list or the record of processing activities could be amended. But I find it extremely difficult to do this absent having the very specific information from ICANN compliance. Yeah.
Thanks, Thomas. Alan, then I want to jump over here because I imagine there might be some.
Thank you, Alan Greenberg. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to put on my Milton Mueller hat before saying this, but why do we need a recommendation? Isn't this just part of the discussion we're going to have on access?
I don't know. Yeah.
Just very quickly. If ARS and OCTO are going to be recipients, other parts of ICANN that we'll discuss in access, why aren't we discussing this in access? Or conversely, why don't we need separate recommendations for those two?
Alan, what's for the record? So the problem we have here, of course, is that ICANN is a controller. They don't need to apply for access because they are a controller in this controlling in this ecosystem. Yeah, but this is, again, this is ICANN need to say, you know, we need access in X for Y reason on legal basis, whatever. I mean, we can do that for them, but they need to tell us as well what they need it for so we can put that into the purposes. And, you know, we can't make this stuff up. I know and I understand that Marika's saying, you know, that it's in the contracts, but that's not good enough for us to know what they do on their day-to-day basis. What data do they use? Why do they need it? You know, we're putting, again, I've said this before, we're putting the cart before the horse hugely in this. And it's just...
That doesn't answer my question. Why are we doing this one way and the others we said we're going to do another way?
Questions out there in the room.
So this is Kurt. So on one level, there should be no distinction, and I agree we should consider the other purposes that have been suggested, and we agreed to discuss those other purposes later. So they may well, and I hope will be included. If we're looking for a distinction, this is a contractual obligation, whereas the other two disclosures to the chief technology office or the for the purpose of ARS are not contractual obligations. So there is a distinction that can be drawn, but regardless of that, I think we agreed not to differentiate them, but to discuss the other two in the second phase.
Great. Okay. Marika, did you want to jump in and Barry, help yourselves?
Yeah, thanks, David. This is Marika. Just want to note, the staff will recirculate the responses to the questions as well as the overview of processing activities memo that ICANN org shared, so that may help the group then identify what specific questions there are. In relation to the reference updating contractual requirements, at least I think from the staff perspective, that refers specifically to the change in data elements that are no longer, or what the group has discussed, that those are no longer required to be collected. And I'm not sure, at least from our perspective, if there's anything further that needs to be done. And note with Mark, the reference of the data element workbooks may not be necessary, as we're actually including in the recommendation itself. We can reference it maybe in the description, as that's where the work has been undertaken. But of course, the list itself represents what is the policy recommendation as such.
Just since I heard workbooks mentioned, and just to put some clarity around what we're doing next week, what the small team reviewing the workbooks won't be doing is paying much attention to the lawful basis for each processing activity. You'll recall there is a specific question out to the legal committee to determine the 6.1b versus 6.1f, and I don't think that's something that we'll be able to resolve in the small team until we get that advice back. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Barry. That's in response to Alex's thing. Yeah. Hadi, you had your card up for a while. Do you want to jump in?
Hadi Al-Minyai for the record. So first off, I assume that for this purpose, compliance and auditing, ICANN is a controller. But anyway, going to Mark's comment where you said, let's not reference the workbooks, and I agree with you, actually, to not reference the workbooks. But and instead you said, let's mention, actually, the exact required data. And of course, this would be a list of data coming from ICANN, and I don't know if this list changes case by case, so they don't have like a standard list of data. I don't know. But I just wanted to ask you, so what if we, instead of referencing the workbooks, we say to... To basically, pass the registration data required for compliance and auditing purposes, continue with the... So instead of referencing the exact registration data, which might differ from case to case, you reference the purpose for which the data is being handed over to ICANN.
Okay. Do you want to respond to that, Mark? And then I'll go to jump to Alex.
This is Mark. I can respond to that. Especially it's not all that dissimilar from what I was going to say anyway. I raised my hand to respond to what Marika said. When Marika was explaining the language, I guess I was nodding my head. I was like, oh yeah, that's what we meant, and that made a lot of sense. When I read the words up there, though, that wasn't my takeaway.
Which words?
And so what we need here, I think, is that the language maybe that I'm seeing up there, and what I think a lawyer that's updating the contracts who hasn't been a part of this working group is going to read and see, is not going to result in the outcome that we're trying to get to. And so I wish I could capture, how it was Marika just phrased it, because, I think, the gist of it was essentially, as a result of our policy recommendations, we're going to change some of the registration data involved in
the processing activities here, and that this recommendation is, you know, essentially just a common sense recommendation to, you know, update the contract language to account for those changes. Right, Marika's nodding.
Yeah.
So I'm not, you know, completely crazy here.
And we're talking, Mark, sorry to interrupt, we're talking about data elements, right? That's what we're talking about. The change in the contract would be the data elements required.
We're talking about the data itself, right? What data needs to be collected, right, transferred, processed. All right. And so I guess, you know, based on how this conversation is going, I think, you know, maybe, you know, first thank you for Marika for refreshing my memory there. But I think it maybe highlights that just, you know, we could maybe make that language a little clearer what our intent is.
Okay. Alex?
Yeah, hi, it's Alex. Just a quick comment on the previous thread on, you know, ensuring we get details from compliance on exactly what they need. I think we've asked in the past that ICANN, not only for compliance, but for everything as controller, create a records of processing activities. This is Article 30 of the GDPR. And it seems to me that if they were to do that for compliance and anything else, then we would have the information needed to, you know, for the work we're doing. Is that right?
Okay.
Thanks.
Right. All right, guys. Are we at the end of the road on this one? Okay. Yeah. Frankly, it feels like we're kind of at the end of a road. I feel like... I'm not quite sure if there are further issues in which we really, as a full group, are going to be compelled to continue working. You know? I'm kind of feeling like we're a little bit at the end of the road on this sort of all of us contributing, because I really sense that, like, about half the room's probably on email right now, because it's just not a compelling conversation. So, given that, my recommendation is that we let the folks that were going to work on the reasonable access bullet points, let you guys do your work, right? And I would say the folks that aren't going to be part of that conversation on the bullets of reasonable access, if there are things we can work on together with you, I'd love to do it. Like, for instance, I'm asking maybe folks here in the non-commercial, GAC, Ben, others, is there something that we could work on together, like Kurt with you? I'm thinking maybe lock down the final thing on Principle 13, or recommendation 13, sorry. Because just taking advantage that you're here, we can do a quick set of conversations that might lock some stuff down. I don't know if there's something on your plate that you'd be excited about having a conversation, maybe amongst us or with Kurt or something, so we can just move a couple balls forward. I'm asking. Yeah? Yeah. Right. Well, I'm assuming that this side, a lot of, you know, at least half of you are going to sit down in this small group and work on the bullets for reasonable access. So I've kind of written a lot of you guys off in terms of right now. But I'm interested for any of you all, if there's something you'd want to try to push in advance while we have you here, and Kurt can be involved in that, Marika and Barry and Caitlin. I think the issue of the final language on Principle 13, which is the controller agreements. Remember all that conversation we had yesterday, the day before? And we can make sure we've got a nice set of, you know, nice recommendation from the small group, or we make a minor tweak to that small group language. That's the kind of thing we could work on, okay? But you guys tell me to some degree, right? And we are open here. If you'd rather just call it quits and do your email now, that's okay too, okay? So I'll give you guys a second to think about that. If you want to talk amongst yourselves, if there's anything you want to work on, or grab one of these guys over here and work on, or grab Kurt or me, let's do it. Otherwise, let's split, okay? Let's split it up. Alan Woods and Alex. Yeah, Marika. Yep.
This is Marika. I just want to note, to motivate people to work a little bit longer, the management of the hotel has very kindly offered to bring in some bubbly for everyone.
Oh, so nice.
That is being brought down.
Could that be sooner rather than later?
Hopefully that will motivate people.
Yeah. Thanks, Marika. Yeah, sparkling water. yeah, right. Okay, so let's do this, guys. Let's call it quits as a full group. I'm going to free up these guys. I strongly recommend you guys have a quick chat about flushing out the bullets, okay, on reasonable access. why don't the four of you just talk for a moment amongst yourselves? Is there something you want to work on and you want to pull me in or want to pull somebody else in from another stakeholder group? On my list are like recommendation 13, which is just the final language on how we're talking about controller agreements. Anything else we want to do around the city-state problem? So those are the kinds of things we could work on, right? Or if you want to look at any data workbooks or things like that. All right, so thanks, everybody. Let's call it quits. Hopefully there'll be something to celebrate with soon. Yeah? Yeah? Terry's nodding her head, so that's great. Thanks, everybody. So folks online, we're kind of checking out at this point from the audio online.